The path to a better life begins with a simple step. Empower Radio presents Simple Steps, Real Change with Cheryl Maloney. Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Cheryl Maloney.
Now that the initial shock has settled into your life, you know that you need to do something, but you're walking through foreign territory and you don't know what to expect, let alone what to do. So much has changed if you've gone through the worst life has to offer, and everything you used to believe is in question, in doubt. Unless you've been fired, bankrupt, gone through foreclosure, widowed, divorced multiple times, you are truly walking down a path you've never been before, and you don't have a clue what happens now or next. And in today's show, this is the fourth in the series about surviving to thriving, the worst life has to offer. We're going to explore what happens now and next for you. Hi, this is Cheryl Maloney with Simple Steps, Real Change, and I'm glad you've joined me for this series. We talk about our challenges and the worst life has to offer, but you're not alone in what you are going through. And even though you may be going through foreign territory, you're not alone. And this show and Simple Steps is about helping you to understand that you're not alone. And while every type of challenge has its own course to run, you can be in the driver's seat of it. You have to get through that initial shock. And we talked initially about just being with what's happened to you and dealing with your fears and the emotions that take you upside down on that pendulum. But as you start to forge the new ground, you have the ability to empower yourself to make it as less stressful and more manageable than it feels right at this moment. And this is kind of a block and tackle kind of show. We're going to talk about some realities of the challenges you may be going through. So financial challenges and any challenge that involves making legal decisions necessitates you having an understanding of what you can and cannot do. In the scheme of things, though, that's the easy part. Whether you read about bankruptcy or foreclosure laws in your state or you seek professional advice, what you do now needs to be based on educating yourself. Because what you think should happen may have nothing to do with what will happen. Do not go it alone. There are programs and experts who will be your advocate, and just be sure to research those experts too. There are a lot of places out there that will advertise what to do to get rid of your debt or deal with the IRS, but oftentimes their only purpose is to make money for themselves. So do your due diligence when you're looking at someone who's offering a service dealing with a bankruptcy or foreclosure or financial issue. Research the company before you ever decide to contact them. When you're going through financial stress and major financial stress, the last thing you need to do is to attach your future to someone whose only goals are to line their pockets from your misfortunes. So let's start with what now and what's next when you've lost your job. So regardless of whether you were fired or your company went out of business, unless you're independently wealthy, you need to find another job. A job loss is a unique situation. You have the ability to go out and take any job that's available to you. And that may be working in a grocery store, walking dogs, anything that will help you make ends meet or at least not be as far apart as not working with no income to making the money you may have been making at the job that you just lost. Realize that to take a job to make those ends meet or to bridge the gap until you find the job you want, there's nothing wrong with that. That's preservation. That helps you have some amount of security while you find another job. It is not permanent. It doesn't have to be permanent. It's just something to help you out while you're exploring what you're going to do next. And when we talk about a job loss, this ties back into financial issues because you're worried about how are you going to pay the rent, or are you going to be able to keep your home, or do you have to declare bankruptcy? And these all go back to situations where you want to do your research. And when we talked earlier about researching the laws of your state, and they're all different, there's some very fundamental premises of bankruptcy and foreclosure that the banks or the state have to go through before that process is actually finalized. And there are great books that sit out there about how to survive bankruptcy or how to go through foreclosure. And I've worked with a client before. He was diagnosed with stage 4 testicular cancer. And he lived in a state where he was not able to afford medical insurance, but the state would provide his care if he didn't have an income. And he made a very difficult decision to stop working, and he was self-employed, and to let his business go so he could get the care that he needed to survive cancer. And his cancer was so aggressive that they told him if he could survive the chemotherapy, he'd survive the cancer, because it was a cancer that would, the chemotherapy that would do him in long before the cancer ever did. And I'm happy to say that 4 years later, he's alive and thriving. But he made the financial decision that he could no longer have an income. He owned a home, and that home ended up going into foreclosure. But the interesting thing to know about foreclosure is he was able to stay in that home for 2 years in his state before the bank ever got around to taking his home back from him. So when you think that you're going through bankruptcy and you can no longer do anything, or you're going through foreclosure and you have to leave right away, research the laws of your state. It's important because that's your power. That's your understanding about what's truly going to happen to you. Now, in a case of foreclosure, you have other options, and that includes short selling your home. And it's a hard concept to understand, but a bank will take less for your home than what you owe if you are financially in a position not to make your payments. Laws are different state to state. Banks are different. So give yourself the education and the power to realize the limitations and the reaches of what you're about to go through. So especially in a financial situation, bankruptcy, foreclosure, you need to understand that whatever you choose to do, one, is a choice, and two, it does have far-reaching implications. Bankruptcy can stay on your record for 10 years. Foreclosure can stay on your record, depending on who you talk to, 3 to 7 years. So when you are going through or facing those particular steps, make plans for yourself. If you feel you need to get out of your home, make those plans to have a place to live before you start any actions. And the reason saying is when your credit drops, and it will when you go through bankruptcy and foreclosure, it will be harder to qualify for a mortgage, maybe impossible for a while. It will be difficult to get approval on a credit report to rent. So you want to prepare for how are you going to live, how are you going to work, how are you going to get around before you actually pull the trigger on going through foreclosure or bankruptcy. So in every state, there are experts that can help you, whether it's your local community resources that are there, or hiring an attorney or an expert. Again, do your due diligence with them. But take the time to educate yourself, because that education will be power. The other thing the education does is give you a peace of mind, because you know what to expect. And when you've gone through the worst life has to offer, and it happens to be your financial insecurity, knowing what to expect is probably the biggest peace of mind you can give yourself. Now, is everything going to go as smoothly as it did before you entered into either one of these? No. And it's going to be an emotional roller coaster. And if you go back to last week's show, we talked about when you hit that low and, you know, you go into bankruptcy and you're going, how could I do this? You know, I allowed this to happen, or maybe you didn't. Remind yourself of all of the good things that you've accomplished in the past. Also keep in mind that there are reasons why you may feel you need to go through foreclosure or bankruptcy. If your spouse or your child has had a medical problem and you've had to make a choice of paying your rent or taking care of your child's medical needs, you're going to make the decision that is right for you. And most of the time, your choice is going to be your loved one. Realize that you made the best choice for you. And sometimes things happen and you have to lose your home or you have to lose your car, but you made the decision that was right for you and your family. So don't beat yourself up over things that you didn't have any control of. So I know that that's a very serious subject. And as a person in my life, I always worried about financial matters. That was my self-fulfilling prophecy. And the more that I worried, the worse it got. And, you know, you learn to deal with that. But the truth of it is, you make the best possible decision that you can at the time, and sometimes it doesn't work the way you hoped it would. Rather than spend your time focusing on the bad decisions you think you made, realize you made the decisions that were best for you at the time. And you're going to get through this just like you've gotten through those other challenges in the past. So it's important, again, to not spend your time beating up on yourself because of what you may have done before. We make decisions based on the information that we had at any given time. And like anything else, information changes. So again, I know that's a serious subject, but realizing that it's not the end of the world and you're not a bad person because you've had to go through it, those are important to help you get through foreclosure or bankruptcy or any financial devastation. So we talked a little bit about educating yourself, and that is the key to everything. Understand what you can and cannot do. In bankruptcy, what can you keep and what can't you keep? What decisions can you make that will maybe make this a little easier and a little more palatable for you? You know, I guess the harshest reality about going through one of these situations is you've lived your life to the fullest and you've enjoyed it and you've enjoyed the things that you're probably going to have to do without. But when you go through this, you also realize that the things aren't important. The only thing that really matters is your happiness and the people that you're with. If you're going through this type of financial challenge, don't rush your way through it to get over it. Time is on your side. You can talk to your creditors. You can negotiate lower payments. And they will help you get back on your feet if you're proactive about it. And only you can decide if that's right for you. But whether you renegotiate your mortgage or short sell your home, there are so many ways that you can make your situation a little more palatable. And maybe you can avoid the bankruptcy or the foreclosure. But take the time to educate yourself and ask questions. You may not appreciate the long-term implications of a bankruptcy or foreclosure until you try and rent your next apartment or buy a car or apply for insurance. And like I said before, make those arrangements ahead of time if you can at all. That way you're prepared and the hit isn't quite as hard. Now, on another financial note, if your financial savings have disappeared with Madoff or an ill-advised financial risk, or you lost it with your divorce or with a death, that's very different from a decision to file bankruptcy or go into foreclosure. When you have lost your savings, you've lost your future financial security. You still have a roof over your head. You just don't know if you'll be able to retire or live as you planned. Those are more of those shoulds. I should be able to retire. I should be able to travel the world. I should be able to do that. And those expectations go out the window when your financial security goes out. And I've lived through this one too. And you go, what do I do now? What do I do next? Well, what you do now and next is to realize that you are okay. And that sounds like a very simple statement, and it is. But at this moment, no, you don't have a nest egg. But right at this moment, you're still working. You still have the same life you had. You just don't have a nest egg. Now, if you're young when this happens, you have time to recover. You do. Because if this happens at 20 or 30 or 40, you do have time to recover. In my case, I was in my 50s. And when you get to that point in your 50s and the fear starts creeping in, you're living a life you never expected at a time when you thought you would be retiring or at least living the easy life. At least that's what I thought. After Jack died, I waited almost 2 years to see a financial planner. I figured I didn't have anything. What was the purpose of going to a financial planner? But my financial security was gone with his medical treatment and some other poor decisions that I'd made. But when I sat down with an expert, I realized that while I might not be traveling the world in my later years, I was going to be okay. Of course, the truth is I never really cared about traveling, but I had the peace of mind of knowing that my future wasn't hopeless. So if you have lost your financial nest egg and you think you don't have any reason to go see a financial advisor or planner, I've got to tell you that you need to rethink that. Because right now, you need peace of mind. You need alternatives and options, and you need to know what the potential is that's out there. You might not have much left, and you may not be able to sock away a lot for the future. But they can show you how making some changes in your life, some tweaks, some adjustments, will put you in a really more secure place. So in my case, you know, if Social Security is around, then I believe that it will be. If I wait to take my Social Security until I'm 70 rather than at 62 or 65, I have a pretty good income, and I can live off that income. And I never thought of it that way. The other thing that you can do is do something that you've never done before, whether it's start a dog walking business or offer to clean your neighbor's house or take care of a task they don't want to do and exchange tasks or do it for a small amount of money. I had a neighbor that retired and he took up window washing. Now, he only did first floor window washing, but he started washing windows, and that brought him in another $500 a month. Imagine what another $500 could do to support your income. You have options. You may not have a financial nest egg, but nothing else has changed. And when you educate yourself about what the possibilities are, you can get through your fear and your worry. Because you know you will be okay. Maybe not in the same condition you hoped and thought you would be, but you're still going to be okay. And depending on the steps you could take, you might be even better off than you thought you ever possibly could be. So again, what's now and what's next if you've lost your financial nest egg is not to bury your head in the sand, but educate yourself. And you'll see in the financial issues that are going through here, educating yourself is important. Yes, you've been through a hard time, and maybe it's of your own creation, and maybe it's not. But when you take the time to learn about what you can and cannot do, what your options are, what the possibilities are, you will find that education is the greatest gift because you give yourself some amount of peace of mind and power. Because there's strength and knowledge, and I know that sounds like it's a hollow statement. But it isn't when it comes to your financial security. Now, what if the worst life has to offer you is a death or a divorce? It's really hard to educate yourself on what to expect when you're dealing with situations involving people. There's no book. Okay, there are a lot of books written out there about divorce and being single again and being a widow or a widower, but there really is no way to educate yourself, to prepare yourself for what you're going through emotionally. You have to take the time to decide what you want next in your life. What do you want your life to be about? When it comes to matters of people, of the heart, what's next or what now depends on whether you made the choice or not. I'm not an expert on divorce, and I wouldn't even try to be, but if your spouse has walked out or you made a decision that you can't stay in a marriage, what you do now will either serve to steady the transition or it's going to plunge you into the abyss and set you up for more unhappiness. Because the divorce, that separation, whether by choice or not, is the challenge. It's the worst life has to offer you at this moment. But when you're dealing with people, it's all about what you want. Do you want to live your life in misery, or do you want to be happy again? Whether it was your choice or not, the next choice is yours. How are you going to live your life? Are you going to live it to the fullest and live the life you deserve, not the life you had? Or are you going to just choose to be miserable because you're mad at your spouse? The anger that you have, especially if your spouse walked out on you, is an anger that only hurts you and potentially your family if you have children. Realize that your anger and your hatred, your distrust of your spouse, those are negative emotions that are your choice. The divorce may not have been, but the emotion is. So what's next when you are going through this type of situation is to ask yourself what you want in your life. In divorce, you set the tone. Is this going to be a situation of amicability or contention? Whether you've been wronged or not, there's a separation in here. The divorce, again, may have been your choice or not, but how you choose to move on is your choice. You have to decide if you want to be happy or you want to live in the memory and the misery of what the divorce did to you. It is truly a choice. There are always two people that are involved in a divorce and perhaps the children, but you're going to set the tone going forward. You can rise above it or you can fall into the abyss and stay there. But either way, you make the choice to be happy or not. So the last thing that I want to talk about, and that's for those of you that are dealing with death, and this is a whole other subject on its own, whether it's your spouse or a child, every step along the path of recovery from grief is something that you can only choose to do for yourself. There are so many people that are willing to tell you what you should or should not be doing, how you should or should not be grieving, but there is no book on this. There is no guidelines. There's no rules. This is individual to you. I was having a conversation before we got on the show with Matt, my producer, and said that I actually had a nephew who told me that my husband had died and I just needed to get over it. And he was young and hadn't really lived life. And as angry as I was at him at that moment, I realized that he had no experience in life. So he had no clue what it was like to be in a loving relationship for 40 years. So when you hear people telling you what you should or should not do, realize that you have to make this decision. People say I should remove my wedding ring. I say it's not right for me. People tell me my husband has died, I need to move on and find someone else. No, I really don't. You don't have to do what others think you should do. When my husband died, I went back to work 3 weeks after he died. Another dear friend of mine whose husband died suddenly said she didn't crawl out from underneath the covers for 9 months. She just went into a depression and withdrew from everything. And that's what worked for her. She came through it. She's stronger than ever. But grieving is a process that we forge new ground, and no one can tell you what it's like. There are actually a model out there that gives you the 5 steps to grieving. I looked at the 5 steps. They're denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Well, I had no denial. I had no anger. I had no bargaining, but I went to depression and acceptance, and your path may be different. So when we talk about what's now and what's next when someone's died, we don't know. And you can only decide what you want to do when it's right for you. So we've covered a lot today on blocking, tackling the various things that you should do. But the key to this is understanding that if you educate yourself on financial matters, you find your power. And when it comes to dealing with people in your lives that you've lost, your choice is to be happier. This is Cheryl Maloney with Simple Steps, Real Change. Thank you for being here, and we'll talk to you again next week as we continue this series on challenges, surviving to thriving. And next week, it's all about gratitude and humility. Have a great week.